There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We're looking for the best game day combos, and you'll be answered today for our grand prize from Gerhard's Appliances and Jack Daniels. We'll get back to all that, all your phone calls here. Would you trade 2-1s for Micah Parsons? I haven't even looked at the poll question, but you know what? I believe in the people today. I believe people are going to vote yes on this because obviously you should trade 2-1s for Micah Parsons. Hugh, who claims he wants to get to the Super Bowl, but I don't know if he really does now. He's saying no. Kyle's saying no. Where do you come down? And the running back situation, a sneaky need if the Eagles are going to run the ball as much as they have the last few weeks. Should the Eagles go get another back to pair with Saquon? We'll get back to all your phone calls right now, though. Let's hear from Nick Sirianni. He was on this morning with the morning show. Great conversation, including more about his decision-making on Sunday in that game. Here's Sirianni with Joe and John on the morning show.
Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Morning, guys. I'm not going to FaceTime you, though.
That would be cool.
That wouldn't work that well on radio. Now, all fair, we'll accept the call. We wouldn't mind that.
It would be so personal.
There you go.
I'd be flattered.
So, Nick, let's start with that. John just touched on it, so let's just get to that, and then we'll get to everything else. But so this connectivity thing, which obviously has been a hallmark of your tenure, where did it come from in your background that I think you lean into it more than most as coaches? And what is the frequency with which you reach out to the guys to try to connect in that way?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think that any team, I think it starts with this. Any team I've ever been on, it's about team. Any good team I've ever been on, it's always been about team. And it's not the best groups of individuals that wins. It's the best teams. It's the teams that are willing to go a little bit harder for because they don't want to disappoint the guy next to them. That dates all the way back to I'm shooting baskets in my driveway at my house, you know, any summer day. And I can't tell you how many times there was a former player that pulled up and said, "Yeah, I'm back in town. Is your dad home? And I just want to say hi to Coach Sirianni." And always that relationship I thought meant a ton. And then fast forward to when I was in college. I had a pretty significant injury, and it forced me to be in the hospital for about 2 weeks, a football injury. And excuse me. And the day after it happened, we were playing, or 2 days after it happened, we were playing a game, and my head coach, Larry Karras, came into the hospital room, you know, the day of the game. And I don't remember what he said. I don't remember much about that, but you know what I do remember is he sat there, talked with me and my parents for a while. He left. He said, "Hey, Nick, we're going to miss you out there today and the rest of the year." And there was something in me that said, you know, this guy really cares about me. This guy really loves me. And I don't know if I'm capable of being an All-American, but I want to be an All-American for Larry Karras because I know he cares about me. And, you know, I wasn't good enough to be an All-American. I was second team All-OAC, Ohio Athletic Conference in college. But, so I didn't quite reach that feat, but, I did respect the heck out of him, and I did know he cared about me, and I just knew that there was, with those couple moments and those things that you're brought up in, you know, just like anything, it shapes who you are, and it shapes what you believe in, yeah. And it shapes how you lead, and I think those are the things that are there, and then those are the things that you remember most about all the players that you've been around is the relationships. You admire the plays that they've made and the but you admire more the time that you spent with them and the relationships that you have That's going to last forever.
Yeah, that's important. You know, Nick, I heard a story years ago that when Coach Vermeil was about to coach the Rams in that Super Bowl, shortly before it, I don't know if it's an hour, 2 or 3 hours before the Super Bowl, he called his quarterback from UCLA. And he thanked him for, you know, if that quarterback doesn't do what he does in the 70s, Dick Vermeil probably doesn't become an Eagles head coach. If he doesn't, he probably doesn't coach the Rams in 1999. So that stuff matters. All right, Nick, let's talk
that's
about
awesome.
Yeah,
that's,
it's
I got a lot of phone calls to make and thank a lot of players that put me in this spot then today.
There you go. All right, so Nick, let's talk about Sunday. And so obviously some very notable fourth down decisions and 2-point conversion decisions on Sunday. And you said yesterday, and this was the quote, you said, "I think we did the right thing in all those scenarios." So what do you say? And I thought you did in some and not in others, full disclosure. That's what I've been saying the last 2 days. What do you say to the people who disagree with you on 1, 2, 3, 4 of them? What do you say to people who think you got it wrong a couple times?
Sure, yeah. You know, I know that any time a fourth down decision doesn't succeed, you know, that's going to be a lonely place for myself. And it's also going to be a moment that, you know, I'm going to always have to, look at and say, did I go through the right process or was I reactionary? Well, everything that I try to teach our guys is to be process oriented. So you're not making rash decisions during the game off your hip or whatever. And so all those decisions I made were exactly what they're Eagle football. It's what we've been doing for the last 4 years or last 3.5 years that I've been the head coach. It's been Eagle football. And it's not easy. Obviously it's not easy because when it fails, there's going to be criticism. And when it succeeds, you know, no one's really high-fiving me and that's okay. But you're doing everything you possibly can do to put the team in a position to win. And so those are all decisions that I'll go back. Like, and we were 11-15 on fourth down going into that game. And so, you know, what we're proud of is that we followed our process and that, you know, there was noise after the New Orleans game that, you know, we shouldn't have done something or, you know what? And we continued to play Eagle football of what we know Eagle football is. And it helped us get a lead in the Giants game on a 4th-and-3. It helped us early on in the Green Bay game on a 4th-and-3 that helped convert to drives. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those don't go your way. You're not going to be 100% on those. And I have to be able to do what I think's best for the football team at all times, regardless of public opinion, regardless of criticism. I think that's what leader, you know, you're not going to be popular as a leader at all times. It's just not going to be, it's not the reality of leadership. But leadership is doing everything you think is the right thing to do, not off gut reactions, but off of your process and the preparation that you did, right, to help your team succeed and block out every outside noise. Because if I want my team to block out outside noise when it's good, and I want my team to block out outside noise when it's bad, to just focus on the process, then I sure as heck better do it.
Nick, you talk about the players on a good team. They don't want to disappoint the guys next to them. Do you find that that affects you as a play caller? You know, do you find that you can go for it at times on offense to show the players that you trust them? To reinforce that you believe they can win in that situation?
Of course, yeah. I think that, again, you don't want to let anybody down. That's why you feel so bad when it doesn't go your way, and you feel great when it does. But I think that all comes down to back to the relationships and back to the trust. I trust my process of what, again, it's not any numbers that are telling me what to do. It's my trust in the players, right? On a 4th-and-3 against the New York Giants, you know, I think there was a video out that our team put out. It was like, I'm watching this video and I'm remembering what I said. Like, I circled Jalen Hurts and I circled A.J. Brown. I said, I'm going for this right here because I trust the crap out of you guys. You guys have showed me time and time again, like, that you've been successful in this, and we score a touchdown there. You know, and I did, and I trusted it on 4th-and-3 in this game. It didn't go our way this time. But I think it does come down to, again, trusting your process, not being reactionary, not having any influence from any outside noise, and just trusting what you do, because we spend a lot of time on that, And then trusting, you know, it comes down to trusting your players. We do, like, again, you're on a good team, so you trust your players. I trust A.J. Brown. I trust Devontae Smith. I trust Jalen Hurts. I trust Saquon Barkley. I trust Lane Johnson, Mekhi Becton, Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, Jordan Mailata when he's back, Fred Johnson now. I trust Dallas Goedert. I mean that's been a big reason where we've been able to get leads and have the success we've had is because we haven't kicked field goals and we've been able to go and get points. But I fully understand, guys, that when it doesn't go your way, there's going to be criticism. But again, you got to do what you think's best for the football team. And that's not blind faith, right? I think that, you know, faith is, you know, we have blind faith in our faith, but then you have faith because of results and what's happened and what you see at practice every day.
Sure.
And what you've seen on Sundays for the last couple of years. And so that's where that conviction, that the process, the trust comes into play.
So, Nick, one of the late decisions, and let's talk about trust from the perspective of the defense. So you go for the 57-yard field goal. What about the trust in the defense to say, if I punt this ball with a good punter, he probably gets the ball around the 10, and I make Trevor Lawrence, and I'll say it, you won't, but a very not good offense, have to go 90 yards against my defense, which has largely dominated the game. I mean, where does that come into the equation in that moment instead of a 57-yarder, which if you miss it, and you do have a good chance to miss it, the ball's sitting right by midfield?
Yeah, I think that's even more trust in your defense to say if you do miss it, you know they're going to stop them, and we did. But I understand. I understand your question.
Sure.
I think the trust comes in Jake and the field goal unit first and foremost. 2 years ago, you know, I put myself the things that we go through with situational game management things. You know, that's going to be a 3-hour meeting that I have today. That's meetings throughout the week, and then that's review of all those things and tapes of these things on Saturday. I put a lot of time into this, and you know, that's my job as a head coach to make sure that we're managing the game the right way. So I take myself back, and you put yourself, and again, the trust that you have in players. You know, a lot of different metrics are used to help me make these decisions: trust, past experience, analytics, all those things. All those to help you make these decisions. But I think, again, I say again, first and foremost is the trust in the players. So 2 years ago against Green Bay, we were up 7 points, and the ball was actually back a little bit further. It was a little bit more of a windy day. We were going the other way, but we were up 7 points. I believe it was 37-30 in the fourth quarter, and we were. I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's let Jake put us up 2 scores, and he crushed it. He nailed it. It was great operation. And so, you know, it was this very similar one. Now, you're not going to go up 2 scores, but you're going to go up 8. And when you're up 8, it's a different feeling than when you're up 7 because, you know, there's it's just a little bit of a different feeling,
sure,
both offensively and defensively. And so that was in my mind. And you know, and I did what I thought in that time was the right thing. It didn't work. So our defense had to play defense with a little bit shorter feeling, and they did. And they did an awesome job. Nicobe made a great play. You know, it's pretty cool when you win on a walk-off touchdown. So I think that I trusted Jake in that spot. It didn't work this time, and I have no doubt that Jake, one of the most clutch kickers in the NFL. I mean, look at his track record, the last year's Buffalo game, hitting that, and that was to tie it up to go to overtime, but hitting that one from the 42-yard line in the rain and the wind and all that crap. And so, you know, again, you trust in them and then trust in the defense that if we do miss this, you know, they've been playing pretty darn good football all game, that we can get a stop if we do.
Nick, what's going wrong with the tush-push? We've grown unaccustomed to not converting in goal line and short yard situations, and then all of a sudden we got hit with a couple non-conversions. What went wrong?
Yeah, man, that play's been so electric for – I don't say electric because you only gain like 2 yards on it, but like, right, it's been
effective
so
is all hell.
Yeah. Effective would be the word,
effective.
Yeah.
Effective. Exactly. There you go. That's why you guys talk all day. Effective is the right word. Man, you know what? Hats off to Jacksonville. They did a really good job. And you know what? We're going back to the drawing board. We've had a lot of success there, and we got to do a couple different things coaching wise. That's gonna help some things out that I still got a lot of faith in. Because again, you don't lose faith in something just because of one day. And you know, I know we've missed a couple this year, but you know, I don't know exactly what our percentages are comparatively to last year, but I know it's still been highly productive, more so than other plays and other teams doing it, you know. And so, again, hats off to Jacksonville. They had a good plan. They did a good job. When you load the box and do something to stop it, the other things become there's other opportunities for you. And so we'll continue to press on as coaches to make sure that that play is – we still got the right guys to do that play and to do everything there. And so we'll try to help these guys be in better spots. I know we'll work our fundamentals that it takes to be good there. We studied the crap out of what Jacksonville did to stop it. And have some answers to go.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Forward from there. We know we'll probably see it again.
Nick Sirianni here. Two final things. So an all-timer by Saquon, the whole thing, the play, the game, the season, it's all an all-timer. How, though, in like the world can the replay booth determine that Jags defender tripping him did not contribute to him falling? I mean, I thought it was a travesty. What did you make of it? And how shocked were you when you heard the official call upon review?
I was hoping you'd ask me more about the play that he made than the one that I'm upset about. Yeah,
you can't get fined for talking about his great play, right?
Exactly. I know you guys don't care about the final.
No, we do care, but it really, I mean, like, here's what I'll just say this. So there's a narrative out there that the game was close because the game was close, but I really believe a lot of people have missed the other team being handed 7 points. Like, literally, here you go, other team, here's 7 points. That made the game closer than it would have been.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. I think, you know what, it's very, I'll say it this way. I'll always keep my conversations with the league private. I won't ever put those out there, just like I won't with any players or anything like that. And we're still waiting to hear back. So I don't even have that answer yet, but, I do know this and that these things happen to level out as the year goes on. You're going to get some calls. You're going to miss some calls and you're not going to get some calls. So it's like, this is coming from me, who gets, you know, animated about a call that doesn't go his way at times, right? And so, I think I've done a better job at this of not, not being irate at different calls. And there's a couple times that I was in the game. I felt like with the quarterback sneak on the 2-point conversion that didn't go. I mean, I really still feel like we got in because Jalen reached the ball over the goal line. But those plays, again, we're going to get a call, whether it's in a game that you're playing or a game that you're playing next week. It's they're all things, they even themselves out. And so I try not to get too crazy about anything like that. And I know, and I think you guys should. Like, I'm telling you guys not to. I think you should. But that's my perspective. That's my perspective on it, that, you know, sometimes they go, you know, the ball, this ball that we play with is this whatever shaped ball, this oval shaped ball that we play with, bounces different ways, and sometimes you get the bounce that you need, and sometimes you don't. Like, for instance, Jake's ball hits the goalpost. Yeah. Sometimes that bounces in, and you get a hit off of it, and that's the same way with calls. And they got a hard job to do. That's not my job to criticize them. My job is to coach this team the best I can possibly coach this team to help them be ready to play and win each week.
All right, Nick. Final thing, and this is something we've been wondering for a few weeks. Most important thing of all. Why does Big Dom have a headset on? What's going on there?
Oh, shoot. Again, we've had some headset issues. He's just there to help any headset issues happen right there, have it back up for me there. And so, yeah, I wouldn't look too much into that.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, Nick, congratulations on the 4-game winning streak, and good luck versus Dallas, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go.
All right, there he goes. Nick Sirianni on with the morning show today with Joe and John. A couple things that stood out here. One, he doubled down on thinking that the decisions he made on Sunday were in the best interest of the team.
He's supposed to.
Well, right. And I mean, I assume everything he does, he thinks is in the best interest. Doesn't mean I think it is. Doesn't mean you think it is, but he thinks it does.
It's different. It's different. Like the going for two when you're up 16, I told you the story. We're sitting on the sideline, and we're trying to figure out what was the rationale behind that.
Yeah.
Like I said, analytics is a big factor in NFL nowadays, and that's something that when I played, it wasn't a big part of it. So I don't know. I don't know what the analytics told them in that situation, but all I know is they had 32 total yards.
Mm-hmm.
16 in the air and 16 on the ground going into the half. Take that point, man.
Yeah, I said this yesterday, and I'll repeat it again after hearing Sirianni with the morning show. Anyone can follow a sheet. Like that's not a head coach's job. You have to actually
have a feel for the game.
Understand the game you're in, the team you have that day, the moment in the game. Yes, I understand if there's a penalty on the conversion and you get to put the ball at the one, you have a way higher likelihood of converting the two-point conversion, and over time that makes sense to go for it. But like you said, Hugh, the ready was a two-score game. You can make it a three-score game. And let's be real, the Jaguars were not capable on Sunday of putting together four scoring drives. So if you just got up three scores, you're probably one score away from finishing the game. But what, you know, that's what it is. I also thought it was funny at the end, they're talking about Big Dom with the headset. Apparently, Nick said it's in case he has headset issues. So Big Dom is
Big Dom,
on backup.
Yeah, Big Dom is the guy. Make sure everything is everything on the sideline.
Making sure everything is everything.
I don't know the job description. I don't.
Well, it's one of the more unique job descriptions in the NFL. It is. Good interview there with Joe and John with Nick Sirianni. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Let's go. Frankie and Roxburgh is up today. Hey, Frankie.
What's happening, buddies?
Hey, Frankie.
On, how you doing, Frankie?
I'm doing good. If we win Sunday, mm-hmm. I'm figuring you guys got to let me bring you up some chicken parm and some gabadilis.
What is gabadilis?
Oh, you tell him, Joe.
Yeah, Joe, you're Italian.
Frank, I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's like it's
fraud Italian.
You know what a potato gabadilis is?
No, I don't. No, Frankie, I want to know now.
You heard of gnocchi, right?
Gnocchi. I've heard of that.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
That's like with cheese, and it got cheese in
potato pasta.
Potato, yeah.
Yeah, but it got cheese in it, right?
It doesn't have to.
No, that's more of a ravioli or a tortellini.
Okay.
Tortellini?
Okay.
You think of tortellini.
A gabadilli is with just cheese. It's right. Not potato. It's much better.
Gabadilli.
Hmm.
Yes.
So do you make it like the gnocchi, but it's different?
Yes. It's
made different. All right, what do you throw on there? Is it like a butter sauce, a vodka sauce? Like, what are we doing?
No,
I think you triggered Joe with the Italian comment.
Marinara sauce.
Marinara.
No, he's trying to prove to John that he's not Italian.
Well, now I'm hungry now, guys. I'm just trying to get a gauge of what he's bringing us.
See right through all this.
Joe trying to get his Italian back.
That's all right. That's it.
Call him a fraud, Frankie.
I'm not.
Call him a fraud.
I've been criticizing Nick Sirianni for years. I've lost my Italian card.
Gabagool.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Frankie.
Yeah, Joe.
The real Italian, Kyle Quinn.
It'll bring. If I bring you the chicken parm and the gabadilli, that'll bring a lot of your memory cells back.
Well, that's probably what that would, Frankie. Frankie,
don't believe you.
He's telling you you're losing your mind.
I forgot you was Italian.
No, I didn't lose my mind. You guys have lost your mind. No one's going to turn down food if you burn. Frankie, what are you thinking about Micah Parsons? You trading for him?
Joe.
Frankie?
You know what? I kind of agree with you, Joe.
See? There we go.
It wouldn't be a bad thing.
We found common ground. There we go. Two ones for Micah Parsons. Tell him, Frankie.
Yes, I like the idea. But how about it? Why don't we just look on a team that's not going nowhere? Maybe we could pick up one of their good pass rushers.
He was trying to get the one from the Cowboys, but the Cowboys ain't going to act right.
Well, he offered two ones, yeah.
Maybe we could get one from Jacksonville.
could. They've got some good ones. Walker and Allen. Yeah, Frankie, it's a good idea. Frankie, we'll see you soon with some food. So, right, Frankie wants to bring us lunch in here. I don't think anyone's going to turn that down. Yeah, we could go.
You like free meal.
We could go basement bargain shopping just like Dombrowski did with Austin Hayes. That's fine. If you guys want the Austin Hayes of the NFL, go get the Austin Hayes of the NFL. I'm trying to bring in a home run hitter. I'm trying to win the Super Bowl.
You see what Joe did, Kyle? He triggered the people by saying Austin Hayes. Now, that ain't cool, Joe.
But you guys want to go full Dombrowski?
No, we're not going full Dombrowski. Has this pass rush been better? Has this defense in your eyes been better? Hell, it helped you and Kyle's.
That necessity of a thing? Yeah.
No, I'm just saying it helped you and Kyle's narrative out yesterday because they gave up 15 points or whatever.
Narrative?
Yeah.
Well, Brandon Graham on the BG show said they put the number up as 16 on their board.
Ooh, so they want Hugh to shave his beard.
The Eagles believe that they let up 16 defensive points.
Well, no, they said it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But still, so it helps y'all narrative
well,
out with
Hugh,
that.
It's your narrative now, too, because you said it was a necessity.
No, I'm just saying. It's not. I don't recall saying
Woo!
That.
The incriminating evidence. All right, 215-592-9494. Your calls on this and your perfect game day combo for our grand prize giveaway brought to you by Jack Daniels and Gerhardt's Appliance. When we come back, we'll get back into something we floated around earlier and what Fangio just said now about whether he wants to add to his defense. 215-592-9494. A lot of your calls coming up. Next day, would you trade 2 1s for Micah Parsons? I would. Game day combos. And how about a running back at the deadline here? Plus, we got to get into the idea of maybe the Eagles giving up on a player they just recently brought in. That's all next. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.